joining, everyone. Happy New Year. Well, there is certainly one key fact about the next 2 years of the 86th General Assembly, and that is that any ideas need to have bipartisan support if it's going to become law. There's simply no other options. The Iowa House, of course, has a Republican majority, and the Iowa Senate a Democratic majority, and of course, our governor is a Republican. And unlike Washington, D.C., with divided government, this state government has worked together for the past 4 years, and we plan to do so for the next 2 years to make sure that we can address urgent issues and move Iowa forward. We simply have to. So this is really an opportunity for a common sense state like Iowa, where state government works, Iowans have a tool to make our communities more attractive and a more competitive place to live. To reach those difficult, significant compromises, we have to set our sights on big goals, goals that would be worth the struggle to make those compromises. So I'm going to suggest that we focus on Iowa's children, Iowa's future workers, parents, and citizens. While Representative Smith is going to address formal education, I think Iowans, both Democrats and Republicans, are ready to invest the most where and when it counts, and that is birth to five. The best research suggests expanding early learning initiatives provides more than $8.50 for every $1 invested. Higher quality early education helps poor children narrow that achievement gap with kids living in higher income homes. These opportunities result in lifelong benefits, like a boost in earnings throughout life. Here's what Senate Democrats support. Iowa's successful preschool for four-year-olds should be available to every family who wants it. Iowa should expand child care assistance so quality child care for younger children is both affordable and available. In every Iowa community should be served by the First Five Initiative, which successfully detects and helps prevent mental health problems among young children. These are three ideas already broadly supported by Iowans. They will bring lasting benefits to Iowa families and the Iowa economy, and they deserve support from both Republican and Democratic legislators. You know, for too long they've said that children's issues were a woman's issue. I'd like to set that record straight. It is an American issue. Our kids are an American issue. They are an Iowa issue. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here this morning. Let me just reflect a little bit. I think Iowa's economy overall seems relatively strong. And our revenue growth has been consistent and dependable. So I think Iowa's in a pretty good position. You've seen lots of economic statistics that suggest our economy's better than most in the country. The one glaring piece in our economy that's missing is wage growth for working families. The middle class in Iowa is stressed. Many people that used to think of themselves as middle class now feel like they're falling out of the middle class. So while overall our economy is strong, the middle class and working families are suffering. So I think there's a couple pieces of legislation that Democrats and Republicans can work on together that would hopefully improve things for the middle class in the state. One of those is give Iowa companies first shot at state contracts. A number of states give a preference to their in-state businesses. And so I think it makes sense for Iowa to take a look at that as well. And the other is getting tough on cracking down on Iowa's $600 million annual wage theft problem. That's the estimate, that $600 million in Iowa is kept from workers who rightfully earned it. In fact, last year a key Republican legislator said, this whole issue has been preying on me for the last year because these people are defenseless. We can work on legislation that will make sure Iowans that have done the work get paid for the work that they've done. So those are two areas that I think make sense that would strengthen the middle class and grow Iowa's economy. If you take that $600 million and give it to those working families, that will go into the economy and create more jobs in the state. So those two areas, I think, give Iowa companies first shot at state contracts and make sure families and workers that work get paid for the work that they did.
The foundation of our economy is the middle class. We'll be working together in this session to focus on strengthening Iowa's middle class. The key to that, we believe, is a quality education program that starts with pre-K and goes into higher education. This means that funding for our K-12 schools should continue to improve student achievement and make sure that every child graduates with the skills necessary to land a good job or to continue their education at the higher levels. We know that there are a lot of challenges in our communities for education. In my hometown of Marshalltown, nearly 65% of the students are on free and reduced lunches, indicating some of what Mike was talking about with income here in the state. We'll also continue to expand on job training opportunities at the community colleges. The system that we've had in place here in Iowa since 1965 of having the academic and vocational trainings in their community colleges have served us well, and we need to continue to enhance the training programs that they have available. In one of the great benefits of these programs is like what we have at Marshalltown Community College in my hometown, where there is a great cooperation and working relationship between businesses and the colleges so that the training programs are what we need in our areas. Strengthening that should be a priority during this next session. We'll work together on having a successful middle class in this state, and if we're successful in establishing a good quality middle class in this state, we will have an excellent session in 2015. Thank you.
Questions?
Senator Yocum, mm-hmm. Kindergarten used to be optional. Now it's required. Is it time to require four-year-olds?
You know, there's a part of me that would like to answer, yes, we should, but right now it is a voluntary program, and certainly opening up more slots to make more children available, or more slots available to children, really ought to be our goal right now, and to make sure that we are properly budgeting for education. Again, it really is an Iowan issue. These kids are our future. You know, I've often said, if you want a better tomorrow, raise great kids today. And they are our future, and we still have far too many children not just missing that opportunity of four-year preschool, but also just too many children in Iowa living in poverty. And it has a dramatic impact, negative impact, on our school system and the economy and our future. That's a good question. I think I'm going to let Senator Grobstall answer that one on the budget itself.
We're still working on those numbers. We do think that schools have been neglected in terms of allowable growth. As you know, there are new requirements that we put on schools as a result of the Teacher Quality Initiative a couple years ago. But lagging has been state support for education. We are about 37th in the country in terms of investment on a per pupil basis. We think we should work towards getting us to the national average. So and right now that we can't do that in 1 year. That would take several years. But we're 37th in the country, and yet we're talking about trying to expect being in the top 5 or the top 10 in the country. You can't do that on the cheap. So we'll work through that.
You'd like to see more education funding in the budget?
That's correct.
Also, on your press release, it says you'd like to see a fiscally responsible budget that's balanced without raising taxes. What does that mean in terms of the gas tax?
Well, I think many people see the gas tax as a user fee. And I'd say there's a mix in the legislature. There's Democrats and Republicans in all four caucuses. There are people that support increasing resources to the road use tax fund. So we'll see if consensus develops on that. As many of you know, we are meeting with the governor on Wednesday to have some a leadership meeting and have some discussion. I'm sure that issue will come up then. I'm not. I certainly know some in my caucus are, and I think all the leaders of all four caucuses could probably repeat that and say, yes, we have some people that think it's time. The last time gas tax was raised, I believe, was 89. So we think it, some of us think it makes a lot of sense to do right now, but it's certainly not not a caucus position in any way. So.
What are the options you'll bring to the table in that discussion with the governor?
We're interested in seeing what he has to say on that front. We have talked, and the legislature's made recommendations. We had a blue ribbon commission several years ago, early in Branstad's term, a blue ribbon commission that came back, I believe, in the second year of the last term. With a 10-cent gas tax increase. There have been some people that have talked about some sort of hybrid proposal. We're open to all of that. Again, I think it's about people of good faith sitting down and working together and trying to find common ground.
You know, it's probably important to point out that the gas tax, whether you're for it or against it, does not impact the general fund. It is separate and goes into a constitutionally protected fund only to be used for that purpose.
I would say one other thing. When I look at proposals, some people have put a variety of proposals out there. Most of those proposals that don't include something on a gallon of gas basically say Iowans will pay more, so out-of-state interests can pay less. That doesn't make sense. 25% of the gas tax is paid by people crossing our state but that don't live here. Asking Iowans to pay more so those folks can get let off the hook just doesn't make sense from my perspective.
On the construction issue, giving Iowa companies first crack, does that mean that an Iowa company, if they're the only bidder, will get it no matter how high their bid is?
No. You structure something that says, all things being equal, if an Iowa company's got a competitive bid, they'll get the contract. Okay. All of that is has been part of the discussion as to how to do that. And we passed. Generally, states give some small percentage advantage to an Iowa bidder. That's generally what other states do. Well, I'd say a couple things. First of all, it was a fairly complex piece of legislation, and about three quarters of what was in it has been dealt with by the feds. So it's a pared down set of issues, and those issues are about siting, and cities had legitimate concerns that a cell phone company shouldn't be able to just pick and choose any place they want to put a cell tower. And the cell phone companies had a legitimate concern. Sometimes it is very difficult to get cities to quickly approve locations for these cell towers. So I think those two entities, we're going to try and get them to the table and work that out to expedite the process. And then we had some sort of an incentive mechanism, and that is tough to write, and we probably won't be able to write it in a perfect way, but where we give some incentive to serve underserved areas. And how we construct that, I think, is a work in progress. But the breadth of the issues that we dealt with last year, which made it much more complicated to try and find consensus, has been significantly pared down by federal action.
Your press release stresses the middle class, but your priorities don't include raising the minimum wage. Is that something you'll propose? Mm-hmm.
We are certainly interested in doing that. We have one Senate Republican that has indicated he would support an increase in the minimum wage at some level. As you know, Terry Branstad many years ago signed an increase in the minimum wage in the state of Iowa. We think it's time. Many of us think it's time to do that. But we're also we recognize the political reality. The voters gave us
divided house.
Blessedly, they gave us a Democratic Senate, a Republican House, and a Republican governor. And we think it's important for people to sit down and work through those things. But clearly, the people on the bottom economic rung of the ladder are the folks that have been left out in this economic recovery.
The Speaker says send something over and we'll assess it once we receive.
We may in fact do that, but I'd also say I'm less interested in the political gamesmanship of you know us passing something and daring the House to walk away from it and playing politics with that. I don't think that that'll lead to a consensus. So I'd rather try and see if there is some consensus, if there are some people willing to take a serious look at this. Well, I just say who can be against workers getting paid for the work they did,
and
who can be against? Well, you can ask them that question. Who can be against workers that work the hours, that put in the time, but didn't get paid? Nobody in their right mind can be against that. So, working through some legislation on that subject. Could move $600 million into Iowa's economy. Okay,
like.
So that's one area. The other area is who can be against giving Main Street businesses a shot at state contracts. We think that makes a heck of a lot of sense. Not at the expense of the taxpayer, not for any bid, but if they're close, we think giving preference to Iowa businesses makes sense.
Do you know how many of
Of course, we don't know because we don't track this and we don't sort that out.
It sounds like you just went back, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you said we are not going to pass things and dare the House to not pass them. But then you just said who would be against this and who would be against that. And it sounds like
I don't think I ever indicated we've got a bill, we're going to pass it, and damn the torpedoes full speed ahead, okay? We want to work with Republicans on this subject. So I think it behooves all of us to kind of lay down our political gamesmanship and say, can we find common ground on this?
Did the Senate pass the wage theft bill last year?
Did we?
Yes.
I can't remember if we passed it. We passed it a couple times, yeah. They may have made something up about us hiring a bunch of people to go out and do audits, but you can't find that in the bill that we passed. So.
Okay, so you're saying that this can be accomplished without hiring additional state employees?
I think certainly inside the existing department they could absorb those duties, and the truth is, a few enforcements of workers getting paid and businesses being penalized for not paying them. A few high-profile examples of that would probably take care of most of the problem. If companies had the sense that if they're caught doing this, that there's a penalty. So I don't think we need any significant workforce, and certainly the penalty money could be used as a way to enforce it.
Renewable energy. Do you anticipate legislators looking into this high-profile
We're certainly open to considering that. I don't think we've had any discussion inside our caucus about that at this point. So.
Can you name some companies that are actually stealing from their employees? As you say, this is $100 million in debt.
We can get you the reference. We'll get you the reference that got you the that got that estimated $600 million number. But they tend to be the kinds of companies that that squeeze things, you know, kind of across the board. So I don't think we have a list of companies, and this isn't about going after that. This is about making sure that workers have the right to recover money from the work that they've done. So.
Are you talking purely the public sector, not private?
No, it's all private. If state government is doing it, we'd love to hear about it. Okay, we don't think state government is doing this. We think the vast majority of employers in the state of Iowa treat their employees fairly, but there are some that squeeze them. That when they can, you find it in with construction subcontractors. You find it in a whole variety of areas, and so it's not the main street businesses. I expect there to be some robust discussion about that issue during the legislative session.
Will robust discussion result in legislation?
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. it's pretty obvious. A decade ago, we passed significant changes to Iowa's eminent domain law. I forget the name of the case, but a Supreme Court case from the East Coast. That was a hard-fought compromise that led to that legislation, and it's I think it's a very complicated issue. It'll depend on what 150 legislators figure out they want to do about the subject when they get together a week from today. And what's the question?
How optimistic are you to even get some of these things into the budget?
Here's the way we've set up education funding in the state of Iowa for K-12 education. We have said we will take it first. Mm-hmm. It's why the law says, and the law has been ignored by others in this building the last several years, but we have said we will set that allowable growth number as the first item of business relative to the budget for the state. We have said that. That's what state law says. That's state law that Governor Branstad signed that said we will take that issue first because the education of our children, K-12, is the single most important budget priority we should have, and we should take that one first and establish what's needed to have good outcomes in our schools. So we'll do that. We think we should do that first, and then the rest of the budget we have to deal with once we've made that decision. The Senate? Every year. Every year since we've been had the majority, we have abided by state law.
Corporate and individual income taxes?
We have always been open to discussions about targeted tax relief that will help grow Iowa's economy. And so obviously it's going to be a tighter year than the last couple years, so it's going to be a real challenge to have a balanced budget. But if we could, but if we see a path to do things that will strengthen Iowa's economy, but let me repeat, on almost every statistical measure, Iowa's economy is in pretty good shape, certainly better than most other states. But the one group that's been left out is the middle class and working families in this state. And we think if there's money to be had for tax relief, that's where it should be targeted.
Thank you.